We have no participants.
Well, you need to do your invocation first.
Okay. Maxwell, give us our invocation this morning, this afternoon.
Thank you, Lord, so much for bringing us here to do the business of this college. Lord, we pray that you give us wisdom and discernment and direction. We pray that what we do is the betterment of this community and this college. We pray that you're with all the people in the military, Lord, and in our administration. Be with them. Go with them. Lead us and direct us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. Hey, you recognize the guest?
I think everyone know, and I think probably online.
Okay.
Not sure about that.
Okay. First, routine matters on the agenda.
Communication to the board first.
Oh. Okay. Didn't know I had done it. Okay, individual will be asked to present one at a time and to give his or her name. Chairman may sit reasonable minutes on presentation for organizational purposes. The time limit has been set by 3 minutes. The chairman can adjust that. Specific factual information or presentation of existing policies may be furnished in response to inquiries, not deliberate, discuss, or make any decisions. Not on the agenda. Administration to answer. It's appropriate. Some instances of request made.
Sorry, I'm on a meeting and I have to let them know.
Brenda, you need to mute.
Okay.
Okay.
Not being any comments or questions, we'll move on to our first agenda item, which is routine matters, and I hope you've had a chance to go through those and read them, and I'll need a motion to approve those.
So
have a motion to have a second?
Second.
Have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. No unfinished business. Our agenda 5 matter is new business agenda. Corrections.
All right. Mr. Chairman and board members, we can go right into the COVID-19 response status number 15. And you all have received a copy of the most recent update, and we also have it up on the screen if you want to refer to that. As always, we're going to pay just particular attention to the things that have changed. As always, we look at what the confirmations look like in our area. And I will tell you that these are changing even since we had Cindy updated everything last Thursday, and we've seen some changes even since then. But that gives you an idea of what's going on with the confirmations in the area. It is increasing. I talked to Craig Ferguson this morning, and he indicated that it in 2 weeks it had tripled in Howard County. And just looked at what's happening down in the San Angelo area and Dawson. We're seeing quite a bit of increase in the San Angelo area. Not so much in Dawson yet. It's kind of staying down, but we're beginning to see a little bit of activity. We then, on the next page, we look at the recoveries. And, of course, obviously, you know, we're always like to see the trajectory going the right direction on that. And so those are our active cases and recoveries and confirmations. Okay, moving then to what we're continuing to do. We do have legislative outreach going on, but we're continuing to do that mainly electronically by phone. When you move to the next page, the CARES Act funding, we continue to work with that, and we'll have a little more information about that when we move to that part of the agenda. But we are working to make sure that we are using those funds appropriately. When you move over to page 16, we did have Kids College this summer for the Howard County Big Springs campus, and we did have a take-home virtual opportunity at the same time. We have done some on-campus options as well for students, not necessarily Kids College, but Lambs Camp and Goat Camp, and so we've been trying to do some of those things. We had the FFA leadership. We're working with the school districts, getting things up and running for the fall semester, doing the TSI testing for dual credit students as requested by the high schools. So those are kind of activities relative to starting off on page 27. You will see, and we'll talk about this in a little more detail on the agenda, but Dreams Week, we've got that scheduled for all of our campuses for new students. And on the page 28, this relates to what we're doing in student and financial accounting. Still a lot of reporting going on, I have to underscore that. With the federal funds, there's some kind of report due all the time, and lots of activity on that. Page 33, we are, as far as dorm check-ins, we've got those set, and they will be happening over the weekend of August 19th to the 21st. We continue to work on remote purchases or devices for remote learning and secure those as appropriate. We also, on page 35, we've continued on the air purifier system. We've continued to increase our needs there across the campus or across the district as needed. We've also been able to get some light boards. This is, again, a distance learning tool for all of our campuses to facilitate distance learning. We have been reviewing new administration's pandemic requirements and guidelines. That's changing quite a bit. We have things at the federal level, the state level. Everything is, there's a lot of movement, particularly right now. And when I talk next about the open hour college, I will even point out some more of that. Page 41, again, just a little bit more about purchases that go with any kind of screening stations we might need as far as upgrading air purifiers. We continue to work with donors that are interested in helping our students or even employees when there are needs. Page 43, as far as the prisons, daily decisions made on that. In fact, not been able to go in unless that's changed in the last few days. I think we're still locked out, basically, of the FCI. GO is letting us go in. Yeah, but FCI is, so we're not being able to deliver right now in as far as our classes. And we are working on on-campus clinics as far as for those interested in vaccines. So that's kind of an update on where we are as far as our COVID-19 response status. The other thing we also have on the agenda is the Open Howard College document. As you know, we put something together last summer. That would help us as we moved into, that was a planning board, and we put together our plan, and we've been updating it as the year's gone on, and so we have updated it as of just in the last few weeks, and then as of this morning, it was updated again, because we had, the governor released an executive order last, I think it was Thursday, after this had even gone out, and so we added that in. We're trying to keep up with that. We know the president has given there's some new guidance on federal employees and contracts, and of course, when we go into the prison, that's a federal prison. Of course, it's a prison, and there's specific rules, guidance relative to prisons and hospitals anyway. And so, one of the things that I would point out to you, and as you can tell by looking at your document, we have the updated things in red, and strike. We will change this up, and it will be shared with our employees, and then it will also then be available for our students. It'll go on our website, and we try to have the most current document out there for people to refer to. But essentially, I think probably one of the, you know, there's been a lot of change relative to what we had in before, relative to masks and those kinds of things that we were doing last year. All that's pulled out, but we have basically what they are suggesting. We can't require people to wear masks. It's basically up to the individual to review CDC guidelines and Texas Department of State Health Services. They also have recommendations as far as the informed decisions to make regarding masking that best suits the personal situation. And then we do have the students and then the faculty that are going into clinical health and prison settings. Sometimes masks will be required. And so we will be following whatever the guidelines are as far as where we go in. So we are following all the guidelines, doing our best to keep up with all the changes, are going to have a culture that's supportive of masking and vaccinations based on personal choices, and we'll follow we're being told relative to vaccinations. Again, that's all voluntary. Can't require that people have any kind of a vaccine passport or any of those kinds of things, and so we're not doing any of that. There are certain things we are required to do as a result of the federal funds. We're trying to make sure that we're following all those guidelines, and one of those things is encouraging individuals to get vaccinated, having clinics, and so we're going to be working on that. One of the differences, too, that we, or I guess one of the lessons learned, is that things can change rapidly. And so what we've implemented, we're going down the path of having like an alert status, and basically that chart, and you want to go ahead and pull that up? The alert status, it should be at the very, you know what I'm talking about? You might not have put that up there. Okay. All right. You all have it in your workbook. And so basically with the alert status, then what we're doing is it will be basically, you know, what I've tried to do. The alert status is created. Maroon was basically when we were in the very, very beginning of the pandemic, and it was basically everything, you know, the lockdown, all of those kinds of things, stay-at-home kinds of activity that was going on. And so that alert status reflects what was happening there. Now, do I think we'll be going back into maroon? I don't. But nevertheless, just so we don't lose some of the things that we did during that time, I have that in that column so that we, if something like that happened, we could move back into that. The red alert status relates to basically when we started coming back on campus. In the maroon, we had some people that were on campus, but it was basically limited to essential positions, and they were very limited. And when we moved into the red last, that would have been last probably, you know, May, We moved into, we were bringing people in, small groups at a time, had the altered operations. So basically, altered work patterns. And so the red, that relates to all of that. Amber, then, is essentially what we did last year, and with a little bit of change because of the masking that was required, but now that that has gone away, we have it in there as highly encouraged when we're in amber, and according to CDC and state guidelines. And again, just trying to follow what we're picking up on out there in the world that we need to be doing. And then yellow, then, is actually then our game plan. We've been working toward a yellow alert status going into the fall semester. And green, obviously, is when we're pre-pandemic work patterns, and hopefully we're going to get to green before too many days, months, whatever. And so we are working, again, we are planning in the yellow. But I will also say that, as you know, we have a COVID task force. And what we've talked about, and the reason we went ahead and we put this together like this, it gives us the opportunity, if we need to shift over, we can say, okay, we're going to move into amber, you know, because cases go up, hospitalizations go up, and our communities are being more concerned and want, you know, everybody to be in a more of an alert, heightened alert status. So we've created that so that we can move through that. And we've also, one of the things that we've also done, we have come to the conclusion, last year we tried to keep all of our campuses basically doing the same thing as far as how we were doing the protocols. And I will say the basis of every alert status is that still the, you know, you're supposed to be doing your self-protocols before you do your checks before you come to campus, if you're feeling sick, all those things. None of that's changed. All that's the basis of every status. And all the, as far as how it relates to what happens if a person has symptoms, is tested, has COVID, all the things, but none of that has changed as far as isolation, quarantine, all those kinds of things remain in place. What happens is when you get on campus and how we operate. And so what we're finding is that, again, we see different things happening. We saw the same thing last year where we would have San Angelo community might go up. The Dawson County, Lamesa campus might be doing something different. Big Spring was doing something different. And so that allows us, we may vary by campus depending on what's going on in the community, also trying to relate to whatever the community is doing. And again, it's one of those situations. No one is, by our governor's order, people can't be required to do certain things, but people can be highly encouraging things, saying this is what the status, you know, what's going on in the community. And so we will try to respond to that. But as I say, right now we're trying to go down the path of yellow, and but knowing that we need to keep a close watch, and that we can revert back to amber as needed. Anybody have any questions about that? So, Mr. Chairman, if y'all, because this is updated quite a bit. And it, again, essentially kind of the foundation for how we're going to begin the 2021-22 year. If you can give approval on that, then what we'll do is update this and get it out.
I have a motion to approve.
Motion.
Have a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you.
Okay.
Next item on the agenda, 75th anniversary.
All right. We are barreling ahead. As we all know, we've been celebrating the 75th anniversary this entire year, since November 17th, when we started with the creation of the college district. September 30 will be the 75th anniversary of the first day of class, which we numerous times we've talked about. That's the most important date because that's when we started being able to serve our students in our community. So we are planning on several events that day. We're going to do something on each of our campuses, and we then will culminate with a district-wide joint celebration that evening, and we're working on finalizing that. At the same time, we're being very cognizant of what's going on, and we have a plan A and a plan B and all of that, but we are beginning to get those plans. We're finalizing the best we can for certain approaches. So you will hear more about that in one of our upcoming meetings. We also are working on, we've had interest from our track teams. You see some of those guys back here that were the national champions back in the 60s, three times. And they have already had a reunion before, and they're interested in doing something again. So we've been working with them, have an interest in trying to get back and have another reunion. So again, some of this has been slow going because everybody has been cautious to watch what is going on. But that conversation continues as a possible activity. And we're doing the same thing, our SWID Fest. We're also talking about doing something with that. We're kind of scaling things down a little bit, but we're trying to do the best we can to have some activities. And our baseball, both of the teams that won nationals, we're working on that. We've even talked about that if we don't have something on site, we've even talked about doing something, having a Zoom reunion of those guys. And, that could be something that could be kind of fun for them. So we're just trying to make efforts to reach out, our basketball team that won national, just opportunities for people to reconnect and to celebrate the 75th year and all the things that are good about Howard College. We also have been very busy with some a special video that's been being created, and Cindy has been working with everybody to get that accomplished. It's going to spotlight from the very beginning. We've pulled in alums from the different decades, and we're going to have just an overview, again, from their perspective, what Howard College did for them. So it's been really interesting. We've got some great footage, and so they're working ahead to get that done. So we'll have that ready by the 30th of September. So as I said, this is kind of the 2 month, but instead of this is a 2 month warning or whatever, from the event. So we're working toward that. Julie or Cindy, would y'all have anything else you'd want to add?
No.
Okay. All right, Mr. Chairman, that's it. Unless y'all have a question.
Next item on the agenda is a budget update.
Okay. We are in budget season. And as you know, we kind of give you a little bit of time off in July because we keep you really busy in August. And so first thing, when we're working on our budget, we get one of the things that we start putting together is the revenue. And Brenda has been working on all of that. And one of the things that's very important as a part of the revenue is the values, the certification of values. and that comes from the county, Howard County Appraisal District. And so we do have that, as shared before. He certified, they have to get, there's certain deadlines that all these entities have to follow, the appraiser as well as the assessor, and those deadlines have to be met. And so they got the information to us early, which was great, a few days before it was due. And so we have that as far as our tax base, and everything then drives around that tax base value. And so we have that information, and that, again, has been certified. I would also, and I can go into a lot of detail on that if you want me to, but basically that's just, you know, what he certifies that, and then we start working from there. And so that is in motion. Do any of you have any questions about that? That's pretty straightforward. I mean, what he provides. Okay. So then we move to, if I can just keep going, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, ma'am, please.
I did want to share that, you know, Mr. Petrie, as you know, has been the interim chief appraiser, and he is going to be moving. That was all along. We knew that he was going to be interim. Mr. Petrie has got a lot of experience and background, and he kind of helps appraisal districts throughout the state whenever they're without an appraiser. And so he's done a super job for Howard County. They have hired a new chief appraiser. Her name's Patricia Davis, and she will begin duties on September the 1st. You'll also remember that there was the vacancy, and they did choose a new director to replace Sandy Smith, and that was Jordan Partee. So that's informational for you, just to know that. Next, I'm just going ahead, Mr. Chairman, is the appraisal district budget, and they're going to be looking at that at their August 11th meeting. They always share their budgets with us if we have any questions, so that we can follow up if you have any questions. Otherwise, they will move along with consideration of their budget at the August 11th board meeting. We didn't have any questions. I don't know if any of you have any questions. If not, then okay. All right. So that covers the Howard County Appraisal District update.
So, place. And now we're going over to B, reaffirmation.
Howard County tax assessment. We've got to do that first. The tax, yeah, all these terms. We've got the appraiser, and then we've got the assessor.
That's ready.
Page 5. Okay, you need to just keep going?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right, so then the next thing that happens, after the chief appraiser determines what the value is and certifies the value, and they do that for all of the taxing entities, then the next thing that happens is that the tax assessor then takes that information and begins to work on what the tax rate calculations will be. All of this is driven by state law. They have certain guidelines, certain forms, software that they use. And so that's what happens next. So Tiffany Sells is our tax assessor. And so she's working on the tax rate calculation worksheet. That will be finalized this week, possibly today. She was waiting on, there's one form that they were updating at the state level. But for all practical purposes, it's very close. And everything is generated. They put in the tax base information, and then things begin to roll, and anyway, there's a few things they have to input, but she's been working on that. Brenda has been involved working with her and we've been asking questions at the state level relative to things that we might have questions about relative to anything on the tax rate calculation worksheet. So that is coming together as a part of that, because Tiffany is the one that is doing the worksheet. We have an agreement for the assessment and collection of taxes with the chief assessor that is updated every 2 years. However, with the last legislative session, basically they're wanting that to be reaffirmed on an annual basis. So for your approval today, we need to have the reaffirmation of the agreement, which basically then goes through and just, if you've looked at it, you know, and of course you've looked at it before, it details that how the process, the fact that we'll do our proportionate part as far as the payment for the services and collection of taxes. And then it also has in there that she will be doing the worksheet, the calculation. So we'll definitely need to have a vote on that, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Have a motion approved. Do I have a second?
Second.
Have a second. All in favor say aye.
Uh-huh.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much. Tax collecting and fee budget.
Okay. And so then, just like the appraisal district, the assessor office also has a budget, and they have also completed that, and it is attached for your consideration and approval.
Okay. Have a motion approved. Have a second?
Second.
Have a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries. Thank you. Thank you, Adrian. Okay, federal funds.
Okay. All right, so again, we're talking, all of this is revenue-related things that we pull together, and we're getting this information together as we're also working on the expense side of the budget. But the revenue side is what we're addressing right now. So the federal funds part, we talked about that last month and shared some of that information as far as how that was coming together. As I've already mentioned and we discussed in the update on the COVID response status, lots of activity related to the federal funds. In fact, we had the Texas Association of Community Colleges had a meeting on last Thursday. All of the colleges are trying, everybody's trying to make sure that we're all following all the guidelines, sharing the information that we know with everybody, sharing information. And we're doing our best to make sure that we are following all the expectations. I will tell you from that call, there was an auditor that is working with some of the large community college districts. And as she was sharing information and things to be concerned about and all that, it was sounding like our auditors. So that was very reassuring that we basically, our auditors are up to speed. And so, and I think that was what we were seeing last year. If you remember when they were slow about not wanting to, on the audit report, they were trying to make sure. Same thing. I mean, it was just like hearing the same kinds of conversation, the kinds of things that Brenda has been working with our auditors about already, trying to make sure that we're not making decisions that are going to cause problems as we move into the next year. Same kinds of things. We are tracking with what we need to be doing. So again, feel like that we're moving forward in a good way on that. We're still waiting on a question. As I had mentioned, we also, every college, what we do is we share. If we have a particular question that is specific to our college, then we we will work with one of the federal individuals. And we have, there's a Texas person, and we actually had a phone call with him and have asked specific questions for our college, and we're waiting on an answer from him. And he took it to the next level, so don't have an answer on that yet, but we are, I sent him a follow-up email this weekend to see if maybe I could spur it along a little bit more, because we need answers on that. And once we get that answer, I've got other friends that are going, okay, share that answer. You know, so we're all doing those kinds of things to try to get information and move it along. So not much more of an update on that, except that we are tracking the way we should, and hopefully by the time we meet on the 16th for your board workshop, we'll have that information. Then next, Mr. Chairman, would relate to the bond, if you want me to keep going.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so another thing that we're trying to do, we're very fortunate. We've worked with a gentleman by the name of Jason Hughes for many years, who's helped us with our different bonds when we did our GO, as well as our revenue bonds, and asked Terry if he would reach out and work with Jason. And Terry's got some information on that, on the refunding. As Terry's coming forward, what we're talking about here, we have, it's the refunding of the 2009 revenue bond series, which is our dorms. And so, Terry, you want to give the board the update?
Okay. Just real quickly, and most of you know this, and Dan, you may not, the original dorms were built in, I think, about 65, and then we added on to them in the late 80s, 89. And so the along comes 2009, and the dorms needed a lot of work. I mean, they had performed very well, but it was time. And so we did a revenue bond, an SU 2009. And so,
Terry, would you explain the difference between a GO and a revenue?
Okay, a GO bond is a general obligation bond, which is repaid through interest and sinking funds or property taxes. A revenue bond, on the other hand, is the repayment of that debt is based upon revenue. And in this case, you have to pledge pretty much everything, but the intent is that the revenue generated by the dorms repays the debt for the work done on the dorm itself. And so this series, 2009, was a revenue bond based on, repayment based upon revenue that would be generated from student housing. And as of yesterday, 8-1, there was $2,080,000 outstanding on this bond, and the interest rate was 4.6, which when we did that, that was really a pretty good rate. But Jason Hughes contacted Dr. Sparks and Brenda and said, the market is such now that we can do a refunding on those bonds, which basically is a refinance. And so that that would result in potentially quite a bit of savings for the college. It does not extend the debt any farther. It just lowers the interest rate, pays off the debt that's outstanding, but then issues new bonds for the remainder of the debt. And the bonds will be sold via private placement, competitive private placement, so it will be marketed to financial institutions. And then those institutions that are interested in buying that paper will then respond with what they are offering. In other words, what interest rate? You know, the term is already set. We're not open to changing that. The bid providing lowest interest rate and meeting all the parameters will be selected as the winner. We're looking at probably reducing the interest rate by about 2%. which is going to result in over $150,000 savings over the life of the bond, or annual savings of just over $19,000. And that's projected. It's not absolute, because it does depend on what the financial institutions offer us. And so for your consideration today, should you decide to do this, Dr. Sparks has got some language that you would need to give her in a motion. Does that cover it pretty much?
Yes, it does, Terry. Yes. And does anybody have any questions of Terry? Everybody kind of understand and make sure. You know, we've done the GO bond, the refunding on the GO bond, and so then we had this one, and the next one would be, we've got a 2013, which is our San Angelo San Angelo buildings, and so that'll come up before too long. But Jason keeps up with this, and he helps us every year. We have to do annual disclosures and, you know, our bond ratings whenever we have to keep up with those, and so he is very helpful for that, to help
and,
us along.
And we worked with Jason for what, over 20 years?
Yeah.
We've
long
got a
time.
Long track record.
Yeah, absolutely. So what we need, and so we reached out to Jason, and actually he reached out to us and to let us know it was time. And so what you have today, if you approve the way that it's written, all matters incident and related to the issuance and sale of Howard County Junior College District Consolidated Fund Revenue Refunding Bond Series 2021. So those 2009 will become 2021. Including the adoption of an order authorizing the issuance of such bonds and establishing procedures and delegating authority for the sale and delivery of such bonds. Then what will happen with your approval, then he will start the process, as Terry was saying, in working with the banks that are interested and all that. And he's going to try to move this along so that by the time you get to the board meeting, your board meeting on the 30th, then he would be here, and we would be able to go down the path of selling the bonds. And
the marketing time frame is just shy of 2 weeks. And then it does have to be approved by the Attorney General. So that review process has to take place before it can actually be put into place.
Right. But that's the game plan, that we think we can make it by that date. So, Mr. Chairman, we would need a motion.
On that motion, good deal. $150,000. So moved.
Have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Thank you, Adrian. Approved.
Okay.
Budget preparation.
Okay. So as I mentioned, we are going down the path. We're working on the revenue and the expense side, and we'll go down the path, unless directed differently, of working for the no new revenue kind of rate. And so that's what we will be striving to do.
Sounds good.
Very good, yeah.
To me.
Unusual.
Yeah.
All right. Our next item on the agenda is for major outcomes.
Okay. We, as far as the Title V, we've got lots of initiatives going on in Title V, and we're going to try along the way to give you updates on what we're doing. But one of those in particular is what we talked about already, the Dreams Week. And actually, it ends up being a little more than that for our SWID campus, but we have for every new student, including transfers, bringing in 15 or fewer successful college credit hours, will be given the tools needed to be successful in college. And you all got this as a part of your packet. Cindy put this together, leading the effort, doing a super job. And the whole idea is to try to get these students off and running fast and immerse them. And this is something that we've been working on for a while. We've added it's not a total 0 week, but kind of sort of. We've been able to get some process into that. And again, best practice shows that when students have this kind of immersion at the beginning, and this is a lot of, you've heard us talk a lot about leads, and so it's got leads in it, but it's also got some other activity in it to accomplish what we want to do. Cindy or Amy, either one of you, want to add anything to that comment?
I think so. Everything probably enough was in the document that you gave them. We're real excited about it, and that much. Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. Next item is purchasing.
There's none there. There's no handbook changes. The dean and directors exempt staff recommendation.
All right. We are recommending the individual shared for renewal for next year.
I think you had a chance to look at those people. Anybody got any comment? Need a motion to approve?
So move.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Thank you, Adrian. Motion carries. New program certification.
Okay. This, again, is a process that we have to follow for any programs that we are recommending to the Higher Education Coordinating Board. And these have been approved by our instructional council earlier this year. That's an internal. You see which ones these are: computer software and media applications, the AAS certificate 1 and 2, computer and information systems security, AAS certificate 1 and 2, and instructional aid, AAS and certificate 1. Amy, do you have anything you'd want to add?
No, other than these, y'all did approve these. It was a catalog changes back in April, I believe. And so we had to wait 30 days, and I notified our colleges in our area, and I have received no comments. So now we can sign the new certification forms and send it to the coordinating board.
All right. Sounds like I need to take those classes. Okay. I need a motion to approve. Motion to have a second?
Second.
Have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you very much. Resolution authorizing our county trustee's property to the highest bidder for cash for that reservation.
All right. You had this as a part of your packet as well, and it's just the standard whenever we have a situation with an auction and a highest bidder. So we just need your approval.
Have a motion. Motion to have a second?
Second.
Have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you. Construction renovation projects.
Okay. You've had an opportunity. Carrie's really keeping us up to speed on what's going on with the roofing project. And you have those updates. I don't know if there's anything specific Terry would want to say about the roof project right now.
I really can't add more than what's in the report, but just to tell you that I feel like the roofing project is continuing to go very well. WCR, which is a contractor, they're very conscientious. We did get caught by a little unexpected shower last Tuesday or Wednesday. And so they had done a tear off in the morning, no rain predicted, and then early in the afternoon we had a little rainstorm. But like I said, it was unanticipated and it did catch us off guard. I think that's the first time this has happened. They did have insurance. We're looking now to validate, verify, you know, make sure what is damaged, what's not. And so I met with the contractor this morning. And they assured me that, you know, anything that was damaged will be covered. So we think that they were, you know, when it started, when the rain started, they were inside because they knew that there was going to be water, in some places. And so they're out there. When I left them late morning, they were on the way to get some ceiling tile and do some ceiling tile replacement. There was actually some computer equipment that I'm not sure how wet it got, but they said that there was some water on it or near it. And so I've talked to the IT team, and they are going to be assessing those damages or those Ms. Ames can see. Other than that, it's been a really wet year. And as we all know, we probably had nearly double our annual right now. So it has elongated this project. There's just no other way around it. But other than that, you know, and if you have any questions, you can always email me or call me.
Not the contractor's first rodeo, evidently.
That's fine.
Not the contractor's first rodeo, evidently.
No, they've been in business for many years, and they really wanted this job. They specialize in school and college work. They're doing outstanding work. You know, when I come up and look at the quality, it's just amazing, really, what they're doing.
We all know it always rains in Big Spring, and they predict no rain. When they predict heavy rain, we don't get it.
Yeah.
That's it.
And you referred to the fact that it's been an unusual, we've had a lot of rain, but we also had another hailstorm. So you want to talk about hailstorm three?
Our hailstorm number three, which was March 13th of this year. We have now had four on-site investigations or assessment of damage. It seems like overkill to me, but nevertheless, that's what our insurance carrier has asked for. This last time we did cut samples. I'm expecting to get the results back from those. I think there was 23 samples cut, and then what they do is they delaminate that in a laboratory environment, and then they look for tears or the ability of water to permeate the membrane, which then gets into the substructure of the roof, which then damages the deck, and if it makes it through to whatever's down below. And so I really expect to get those results back, I mean, today, tomorrow, whatever. I know it's going to be very soon. And I will tell you that the Travelers rep called me Tuesday or Wednesday. He said, you know, we don't have the results back. Do you want me to give you? And he did say that they have verified, validated new damage, but there could be more depending on the results of those tests. And he said, do you want an interim report or do you just want to wait? And I told him, and I communicated it to Dr. Sparks, you know, I think we just need to wait because I can't see the point in, you know, getting something and then it changes. So when I think that we're probably very close to getting the final one. So.
Yep. All right. So maybe an upcoming meeting. We'll get there.
I just brought this to show you. This is most of the. I keep records, and so this is what we've got so far. And I'll turn that over to somebody when it's time.
You're right over there. Yeah, yeah. And I might just make the comment so y'all know, you know, Fabian is, we're on a whole new level of called safety and security around here. I mean, you will be finding out about it at the board meeting on August the 30th. We have to do our annual JCAR, not annual JCAR, it's our every 3 year JCAR report. And so Fabian has been working on that. And so Terry is very glad that he got to retire out of what he was doing before all the safety and security, all the requirements went to the new level that they're at. So Fabian's focused in on that, and we've made a lot of progress over the last 2-3 years. We've paid for it, as you know, through budget. But we've got updated security systems, and all of that we've come a long way. So Terry is helping with that roof. He's doing that and running around and keeping Fabian updated. But you'll give that to him.
I don't think Terry wants to retire.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, we keep finding him projects. Believe me.
All right, next item is the building of San Angelo Workshop.
I am so thrilled to be able to report that we have a finished building in San Angelo. And that has been a great effort over the last 3 years. We kind of call it our barn raising. If you remember, we had a lot of builders in San Angelo that went together and helped raise money. And so we, as you determined that you were going to go with the title, the name. And so we've got the name attached to it, Builders of San Angelo Workshop. And we have a certificate of occupancy. And now we're just working toward a ribbon cutting. So we're very excited about that. Got to give a lot of credit. Lots of people were involved in that. Jamie Rainey, Nelson Davis, and then Shane Tacklett recently. He kind of took it over the finish line. So lots of people involved in it, but it's been a big effort.
And for those of you who hadn't been down there, it's really a nice building. They've done a good job on it. It just took a long time. All right. Next item is President's Report.
Okay.
If you would.
Yes, sir, I will. Okay, so upcoming activities, you know from your calendar, we've got you busy, and we're going to be keeping you busy over the next few weeks. As I mentioned already, we've had the lamb camp over the weekend. We're going to have the goat camp. Summer school's ending this coming Thursday. Your workshop is going to be on the 16th. We've already talked about Dreams Week. We begin fall classes on the 25th, and then you'll have another board meeting on the 30th, and then we moved into some of those other things just to kind of show you what's going to be happening in September and till the end of the month, which, again, very busy time with the 75th and a board meeting on the 27th of September. So we'll keep you updated on that, but that's activities. On recognitions, we shared in your board book some of the information. We're very proud of the fact that one of our nursing instructors has been appointed to the Board of Nursing, and that's Ken Johnson. And Ken is on the Big Spring campus and works with the LVN program. And there's an article that was in the Texas Board of Nursing bulletin. So, again, we're very proud of that. And I think it's also reflective of the strong program that we have. And again, of course, Ken is a great, great practitioner. So we're very, very proud that he's been able to do that. Also, the next thing would be recognitions. We also got some press on what happened with our, we, in a publication, we have been written up for what we're doing in distance learning. And that also, Kim Clark, who has been a great leader in our distance learning area for a very long time, and she is known across the state. She's done a super job of making sure that Howard College stays on the front of all new kinds of activities and opportunities. And in the past, we started trying to do a lot in distance learning. First donation that we got was from Marie Hall, and it was the WINGS. So remember, we had the WINGS interactive classrooms, and that allowed us to be able to connect up all of our campuses. And then that just continued from that. Then we moved into an online presence, and we have a lot of experience in that. We got a whole lot of experience in it last year. But Digitex is now the new way that the community colleges share courses in the state of Texas. And the reason that we do that course sharing, and they call it a course sharing consortium, is because some of us Depending on what our needs are, we may need a course delivered from another community or another community college. So we may host a course or we may provide a course, and the different colleges participating in it across the state, VCT is what we used to call it, Virtual College of Texas, we participate and we share courses. So you will see that they talk about, we're in this report that they put, Acadium put out, and it's all about Howard College and the future of community college sharing, and they talk about the historic role, and it goes into Howard College overcoming limited resources and how we've approached it and what we've done. Because of that connection, we actually were also in a Forbes article earlier, and again, just I'm going to give Kim all the credit, but she's done a super job of getting us out there. Amy, would there be anything you would add about that?
It's a good resource to help us deliver courses that we can't provide.
Okay.
Very good.
All right. And so, Mr. Chairman, I'll just keep going and get us to the end.
Please do.
Legislative and general updates. You all know that our legislature, we've been in a scenario where we're kind of stalled as far as the special session, which it finishes up this Thursday. And from all indications, it appears that our governor will call another special session. We do know that, and I don't know if there's going to be an immediate, who knows, we'll all wait to see exactly how that works. But we do know that there's going to be one in the fall, and that is going to specifically be redistricting, and that is also when they're going to pay a lot of attention to the federal funds that the state has received. And so we're beginning to have conversations, Texas Association of Community Colleges, we're beginning to have conversations about how the community colleges could have access to those federal funds. As you know, the REAL initiative, basically it's a reskilling, upskilling scenario to try to bring individuals back into the workforce or prepare them for the workforce. And so that is something that we would, I said REAL, should have said TRUE, that we would be involved in as far as trying to submit any kind of grants if the opportunity presents itself. So you'll hear more about that as time goes on. And other than that, we're getting ready for the fall semester. If you have any questions for me, you can ask. Otherwise, we're done.
Questions, comments? I have nothing outside of crippled. So by the authority vested by the governor of the state of Texas, this meeting is adjourned.
Thank y'all very much.
Very excellent.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye, Adrian. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
I'm hanging up.
We're sorry. Your conference is ending now. Please hang up.